There's a man, father asked his young son after he'd been in a test in history how he did. And the boy replied, he said, "I did exactly as well as Winston Churchill did." And the father said, "I don't know what you mean. What did Winston Churchill do?" The boy replied, "Dad, he went down in history, just like me. I failed miserably." Joshua, one of the servants of the Lord, goes down in history. We all know about him, don't we? We know about Moses. Moses, who stuck with the people of God as he brought them from Egypt. At the age of 40, he thought he'd got a handle on things and he was going to try and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt on his own strength. And of course, God had to bring him into the backside of the desert to realize that his own strength and his own energy was not going to be enough. He was never going to be able to succeed. And so God brought him into the backside of the desert, and for 40 years he spent, the first 40 years he spent thinking that he was the only one that could do it, and he spent another 40 years learning that he couldn't do it without God. Then God brought them out of Egypt, you know the story, and they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Been disciplined by God, learning the arts of war, learning the arts of truth and faith and belief in God. There was a young understudy under him called Joshua. And the 40 years previously, he wanted actually to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. He said, "We can get it. We can get it now. Let's trust the Lord." Of course, they were discouraged. There's too many giants. And there were giants in the promised land in Canaan. And of course then, they failed to take God at his word, and they spent 40 years wandering. I would put Joshua down as a hero. He stuck with the people of God, even though he in his heart was in Canaan. He still wandered through the wilderness for 40 years because he had a heart for God, and he had a heart for God's people. He had a heart for God. He had a heart for God's people. So he goes down in history in my books for someone who brought the children of Israel across the Jordan and into the land of promise. Not heaven, the land of promise. Living according to the promises of God. And as we live in faith according to the promises of God, we can know God's hand upon us in every giant that we face in this new life that he's given us. And I can imagine that Joshua must have been trembling, terrified, feared that day when Moses was gone now. And it's one thing to aspire for something, isn't it? It's one thing to plan for the big day. It's one thing to think about how it would be to move from little school to secondary school and then go from secondary school to college or university and then to make the transition from university then into the workplace. And I think you don't know anything about life until you're in the workplace. Because in university and in school and all of these other places, you can do pretty much what you like and you don't have to go if you don't want. And of course, well, that's how some people live anyway. But now when you're in the workplace, no mon, no fun. Isn't that right? No work, no mon, no fun. Not true. It's a different ball game. And so Joshua brought the children of Israel, and still they had giants to face. And that's pretty much the theme that I'm on this morning. Facing my challenges with Jesus. Facing my challenges with Jesus. If you've got a Bible, then I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to verse 15. Because the moment you step out in faith for Christ, you are going into unknown, uncharted territory for you. Now, what I mean by that is, God has a clear path for you. But we don't know where that path will take us. All we do is we trust. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Isn't that right? I often think in my life, if God had shown me where I had been and 25 years after I got saved, I'd have said, "Lord, either I've lost my marbles or you don't know where you're taking me." And this is, he never shows us next year, he doesn't show us in 10 years' time. And anybody that's aspiring to be anything in 10 years' time, then they're not walking with God, they're living their own plan. God's plan brings us step by step, day by day, moment by moment, and to the place where God has purposed and planned for us. Let's read together this important passage that was the climatic, the charter, the hub, the central plank, the kingpin, whatever way you want to describe it for Joshua, as he now was taking on full responsibility. And it says in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 5, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us, or are you for our adversaries? And the man replied, and he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua instantly recognized who he was, and here's what he did. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." May God give us grace and help and inspiration to hear what the Lord is saying to us today through his word. Joshua, as I've said, is facing one of the toughest challenges in his Christian walk. Egypt and the wilderness wanderings are behind him, and now he's entering into a new chapter for his life. He knows little of what's ahead. He just knows that God has his hand on him. God has a place. God has a direction. And if he's to face that, and if he's to achieve that, then he must go with God. Obedience and discipline and surrender to God is all significantly important that he gets to where God wants him to be. There are new converts. There are older converts in this gathering. But either way, you've entered into a new chapter of your life. God has a goal, a purpose, a plan, a significant purpose, a significant goal, and a significant plan for you. God has a purpose and a plan for every individual in this gathering. He has a place for you to exist. He has a purpose for which you are to exist. And it is not now for yourself, but it is for God. And every choice, every decision, and every step we take, it is for the glory of God. Isn't that true? But we don't know exactly where, nor do we know exactly how. All we know is that God has taken us from our place that we used to be, a place of misery, a place of destruction, a place of barrenness, a place of darkness, and now he's switched on the light. And I have a place, I have a purpose, there's a spring in my step, there's joy in my heart, there's even a reason for getting up early. Isn't that right, James? I didn't know James this morning, he's all suited and booted. And I was looking for somebody else, and they're suited and booted too. And I didn't tell you what to do. And so everything takes on a new demeanor, a new dimension, a new meaning. It is significantly important that what happened to Joshua here becomes part of your experience. Significantly important. Because I believe that Joshua would not have been able to succeed had he not had this event with the captain of the host of the army of God, who we all know is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a theophany. What's a theophany? It's an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So if you thought that he didn't exist until he was born of Mary in Bethlehem, then you've got it wrong. He existed away before man was ever created. In fact, the Bible says before the world was created, he was a lamb slain. God said, let us make man in our image. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to the angels. He was talking to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Anyway, but it mightn't be that you've just entered into a new experience of God's salvation, though that's the primary purpose of this message. It might be that you've entered into a new school. Might be that you've entered into a new university. Or even for us that are a wee bit longer on the tooth, we've entered into a new stage of life and now we've got the bus pass. And we're uncertain, unsure, not as secure, because we now feel a weight of responsibility upon our shoulders. How are we going to get through? How are we going to make it? Well, there's one who is the captain of the host of the army of God, wants to meet with you today. Now, I'm going to say that again because I don't think you picked that up. He wants to meet with you today. Today, not tomorrow. It's too crucial, too significant, too important that you waste your time twiddling your thumbs, wondering what it is that God wants you to do. Get in connection, in contact, get into a place of vital relationship with Him, and you begin to go forward as a soldier in the army of the Lord. So I want to show you from God's Word today how to go into the future with the right perspective and the right attitude. Because that is what we learn from Joshua. Now you're ready. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. First of all, he looked up. Verse 13. He looked up. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass that as he went by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes. Can you imagine? Here's Joshua and he's going along. There may have been two emotions that were struggling within him. First of all, oh, I'm in the promised land. I've made it. I'm 80 years of age, but I made it. Finally got there. Finally got the joy. Finally got to that place that I've been aspiring to. Finally got into the light. Finally got to a place where I've met with Jesus and I now know the purposes and plans and I'm dwelling in Beulah land. I finally got to that place where my heart was longing for, that I knew about. I heard testimonies, I saw people, I read people's lives, but now I'm there in the promised land. I've got out of the wilderness, I've got out of the doldrums, I've got out of the misery, I've got out of the uncertainty. Now I know that God's in my life. I can just imagine he's doing congregational somersaults in his heart. As he's walking along, all the way my Savior led me, what have I to ask beside? Probably remembers all the disappointments, probably remembers all the failures, all those times when the children of Israel were arguing against God, and whenever God had to chastise them by sending in serpents into the camp, and because of their sin, God was chastising their people. And then they saw the serpent put up on the pole, and anybody who's been bitten by a serpent, if they look to that pole, they live. Calvary followed them through the wilderness. And I'm sure he's thinking of all the places, the time that he and the other spies went into the promised land and all he got was a negative talk. You don't need this. You couldn't get this. You couldn't aspire there. You couldn't achieve that. And you dwelt on your own strength. But they factored out that God was with them. God was with them. So he's walking along with his head down. And then coupled with the celebrations that were going on in his heart, the fear I've got up on. I mean, we don't know, but anywhere from 1.5 million to 3 million people, and he's going to bring them across the Jordan. He's taking them into the promised land. Oh, he must have felt so vulnerable. He must have felt so weak. Here's my question. Why so early on had he to deal with the biggest challenge of his life? You ever wondered that? Why so early on? Why tackle Jericho? Surely get in and take a wee bit of the land, and whenever they get a wee bit sustained and we get a wee bit more settled in, why all of a sudden now have they to take on Jericho? Because Jericho stood in the way of their fullness of God in their lives. It stood in their way. Some of you are overcoming addictions. Some of you are overcoming opinions. Some of you are overcoming hurts. Some of you are overcoming disappointments. Some of you are overcoming disillusionment. And the list goes on. Broken marriages, broken homes, broken lives. Some of you are overcoming the greatest devastation that you've ever met. And I'm telling you, you listen to me, because I have already been there myself. You will never get into God's fullness till you deal with the elephant in the room. You'll never get, and right on, nail your colors to the mast. I'm taking God at his word. I'm not going to let the devil roar in my ear, you can't overcome that addiction. I'm not going to let the devil roar in my ear, you can't overcome that hurt. I'm not going to let the devil tell me that my failed marriages means that I'm failed. I'm not going to let that tool of the devil, that monster from hell, I'm not going to let it stop me moving on with God. I'm claiming the promised land. And so he says, he looked up. And like the psalmist, I've lifted up mine eyes above the hills. Where's my help come from? God. God. You think he disappointed him? Absolutely not. He visited Joshua with the exact thing, with the necessary thing, with the only thing that he could face his battle. And as he was going to face a battle for Jericho, who did he appear as? The captain of the army of God. Might be that you need a counselor. Well, he'll come to you as a counselor. It might be that you need a doctor or a healer, a physician. He'll come to you as a great ancient physician. It might be that you're lonely, but he'll come to you as a comforter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It might be that you need guidance. You need clarity. He'll come to you as a guide. The captain of the army of God came to Joshua in a way that Joshua needed. Right, let's sing a wee chorus. Because you're all looking very, we're going a wee bit deep. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you? Christ is the answer to my every need. Christ meets me at the point of my need. Christ helps me over my hump. You hear me? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly on to the grace. Do you say to me that Christ understands my addiction? Of course he does. You say to me that Christ understands my hurt? Was there anybody more hurt than him? You say to me that Christ understands my hang-ups? Absolutely. But he left glory. He took upon himself the form of man. The greatest hang-up that he could have had, that he would take man's sin and make it his cloak, so that you could have the cloak of righteousness. You saying to me that he never felt pain? How would you like to be choking? Asphyxiation is how they say he died, as he was so crucified. They say that when you're crucified and you're trying to ease yourself up off the pain in your hands, and you take the weight on your legs, and then your legs get so sore so you lose the weight, and then the weight goes on your hands, and then you can't bear the weight that's on your hands, and so you lift yourselves up with your feet again, and then the next thing you feel the relief, and the pain becomes so toxic you can't breathe. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. And if you think that that's nothing to do with spiritual or emotional or physical healing, then whenever Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, Matthew went on to say, as he commentated on the healing, he says, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He knows how to heal your broken heart. He knows how to heal that broken confidence. He knows just how to meet with you today. It may well be that there's something standing in your way, and God says, deal with that. Deal with it. Deal with it. And if you would say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I've been so dependent for so long. I've loved to throw this wee pity party that I've rejoiced and had a good fun with for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years. How I'm going to do without my wee pity party, I don't know. But today, Lord, I'm stepping out today. Lift up your eyes. From whence cometh my help? Because after all, the pity party hasn't worked, has it? Has it? The old grudge hasn't worked, has it? It doesn't work. The only thing that works is Christ. And he meets you at the very point of your need. I'm not started yet. I'll give you another wee bit, put it like that. This is another one of those times whenever the message was changed this morning in the early hours. It's playing on my health here. Let me say to you, you can look up, you can lock on, and you can listen to the Savior. Here's the first thing. Because of the presence of God, you can look up. Because of his presence, you can look up. There's something powerful and encouraging about discovering the presence of God who goes with you through every trouble and trial. I know some of you are sick. I heard about it on Friday night. I know some of you have got issues with your health. I know that. Some of you have got issues with relationships. Here's what Paul said. This is in the ESV. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. He doesn't say don't be anxious about some things. He says don't be anxious about anything. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Isn't it lovely to know that God is walking with me through my challenges? Let's have a wee conversation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who are they called again? Shake the bed, make the bed, and into bed you go. Let's have a wee conversation. What do you think about being thrown into that fire? We don't like the idea. Well, all you have to do is not go through that fire is to deny Christ. Will we not be denying Christ? Well, why will you not deny Christ? Because he is our everything. He is our all. Well, into the fire you go. And I'm going to tell you, here's how they went into that fire. Even if God cannot deliver us from this fire, we will still trust him. Glory to God, there was three men thrown into the fire, but when they looked into the fire, there was four men in the fire. They didn't even have their hair singed, their clothes burned, nor did they even smell a smoke. Because Christ was with them through their struggle and trial. He's at hand today. Can I get that into your heads today? He's at hand. He's at hand. He's right by your side. He's with you. through the problems of your families, through the problem of your faith, through the problems of fatalities. He's with you. He's with us. The Lord was with Samuel, that wee boy that was brought to the temple and he helped turn the nation around for God. The Lord was with David, a teenager who took on a giant who was opposed to the people of God and he slew him. The Lord was with Gideon, who used 300 men to defeat the Philistine army. The Lord was with Queen Esther, who helped save the nation from annihilation. And the Lord was with Joseph. And everywhere that Joseph was, even in the palace or the prison or in the pit, God was with him. And God turned it all around. This is the thing. Turned it all around. Paul stood up to preach about the glory of God's presence, and here's what he said in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. For one man he made every nation of men. Sorry, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He is not far from you. Look up and discover his abiding presence. Why should we look up? Because of his presence. Let's start to practice the presence of God. Let's not allow the negative things determine whether God's with us or not. Let's go through and over the obstacles with him. Here's the second thing, as we think about him looking up. Look up because of the power of the Lord. He's the commander. He's the commander. He's the captain of the host. He's the sovereign Lord. Listen, he's in control. Get this. He's in control of every situation you face. He's in control of every situation. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one that orders the troops. He's the one that chooses the strategy. He's the one that decides the campaign. Imagine, I read the last verse of Genesis this morning and it was about Joseph. Ye meant it to me for evil. God turned it around for good. That's an interesting subject, that, and it's an interesting discussion, that everything I go through, every heartache, every accident, every trouble, every trial, is it like this, that somehow when we go through troubles and trials and tragedies, that somehow God has lost control of our lives? Things just happen, but God can take the things that happen to us and he can turn them right around and use them for his glory. All things work together for good to them that love God. That's how much control he has. You want a friend in high places? He's higher than all others. You need strength? He has endless stores of energy. You need resources? He owns it all. You need direction? He's the way. You need counsel? He's the truth. You need meaning? He's the life. Because of the power of the Lord. Let me finish this morning. He's also because of the purpose of the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 gives us an idea. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And here's what it says. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That's the statement. Now notice the reason. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. The Lord was telling Joshua, as Joshua asked the question, Lord, are you for us or are you against us? Did you notice he didn't answer him? Yes or no? He was neither for him nor against him. He was not coming to help and to be a glorified one-armed bandit that where you put in your money and you take your chances. God wasn't come here to help. God was coming to take over. He was coming to take over so that the nations might see the glory of God. It just might be that others might see the glory of God as you walk with God through the circumstances that you face. I love that. Look at, this is the last wee verse I'll give you. Look at Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. Everything happens for a reason. Everything. And if there's no reason that you can make sense of, God can turn it around for glory. Wonderful. Look at Exodus chapter 29, verse 46. It says there, we'll read verse 45. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And over there in Ephesians 1 and 12 it says, that ye might be to the praise of his glory. Because of the purpose of God. During the Civil War in America, Lincoln was depressed at the death and destruction that was taking place. The outcome was still in question, and Lincoln was afraid that the Union might be lost and America's permanently divided. And Ada said to him, Do not worry, Mr. President. The Lord is on our side. Lincoln purportedly replied, that is not the question. The question is, are we on the Lord's side? Are we on the Lord's side? And the challenge today is not, is God on my side? Are you on God's side? And if you're doing what God has purposed and planned for you, you can go forward with confidence. As he will give you the ability and the strength and the power to overcome those faults and failures, those weaknesses and those difficulties that you have, he will give you strength so that you will bring glory to his name. Look up. If there's one thing I can say to you all today, as you face the next chapter in your life, wherever that chapter has you, look up. God's with you. He's with you. Now, I've wandered and strayed away from my notes, but I think we'll stop there and let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, conscious, Lord, of your speaking voice and aware, Lord, that you have a message for us as believers, there is no challenge, no difficulty, no obstacle, nothing that can hinder the child of God who sets his face as a flint, who asks the Lord for strength in time of weakness, who asks the Lord for direction in times of confusion, who asks the Lord for meaning and purpose in times of disillusionment and disappointment. We thank you there's a God right here, right now, who will take charge. He hasn't come to help. He has come to take over. We pray that, oh God, we'll just give our hearts and our lives fully, completely, wholly, totally, and only to you just now. And maybe there is someone in this gathering and you're saying, Lord, I've made a mess of my life. My life's going nowhere. But you have been powerfully speaking to me today. I've been toying with Christianity and with salvation. And today I'm saying, Lord, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. I'm opening up the gates of my Jericho, and I'm allowing you to flood in. Take over, take control. Strengthen me, Lord, and motivate me for your purpose, that I might be to the praise of the glory of whom you saved me. Now, if you've made a conscious choice today, and you're saying, Lord, that obstacle, I'm not allowing it to stop me getting into your fullness anymore. Would you just lift your right hand up into the air and say, that's me today? Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else? Lift your right hand up into the air. When I see it, I'll see it until you put it in again. Could be an addiction, an opinion. Anyone else? If not, I'm just going to close in prayer. Father, you know what you're saying. You know what you're saying in these days. Lord, we give our problems to you, the great problem solver. For those that have responded, Lord, we know the sincerity and genuineness of their heart. And we pray, oh God, you'll give them that needed grace to face the heartache and heartbreak that may be their way. We rejoice in your love and your goodness in Christ's name. Amen. 606 is our closing hymn. Above thine own ambitions, hear another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee. O leave thine all and follow me. Stand and sing, please. Father, we pray that you'll part us and your fear with your blessing. We pray that we'll be conscious, O God, of your speaking voice and our own great need of a great God who is able and willing to meet us at the very point of our need. Just as you met with Joshua, Lord, you know, we know you'll meet with us. We look forward, Lord, to our sister Margaret as she shares testimony of how God met her in a very low and a very difficult and distressing stage in life. And Father, evidence that when we put our hand in the hand of the Master, then he leads us through. We look forward to it, Father. We look forward to your presence and pray that your continued blessing be upon us as we leave this church. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake alone. Amen.